Women have a history of rising above. When they blocked our right to vote, we marched. When they paid us less, we secured equal pay. When they devalued us, we built a movement. Now they tell us we need abortion to succeed, that abortion is part of our empowerment. But there's no victory in ending the lives of our own children. There's no empowerment. There's only harm and loss. Abortion hurts. It leaves us with a giant hole in who we are. When someone tells us we are not up for the challenge of being a mother, let's remind them who we are, what we have overcome, how we have risen above. We don't need abortion to succeed.
Welcome. You're listening to Positively Pro-Life, a podcast brought to you by the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. On this podcast, we aim to bring you inspirational stories and conversation, important legislative updates, and informative interviews as we seek to restore and strengthen a culture of life. I'm your host, Remel Tenney, Education Director at the Federation, and joining me is my co-host and Executive Director, Maria Gallagher. Welcome, Maria.
It's so great to be with you today, Remel. I'm very excited for this program.
Yes, me too. And it's exciting times, or some would say very uncertain times. But we know that we are exactly 2 weeks away from the final days of elections that will decide the future of America and the fate of millions of preborn lives in this country. The deadline for making a decision, if you haven't already, is fast approaching, and we are here to provide you with clarity on what's at stake, why you should exercise your sacred right to vote in order to protect life, and how you can vote strategically to keep our protection laws in Pennsylvania. Early voting is available in the Commonwealth, and here's Maria with her update on the advantages of voting early.
Thank you so much, Remel. Most states now permit some kind of early voting, according to a CBS News report. The story features a map which indicates the voting requirements in each state. In a number of states, early voting is shattering previous records. Party leaders encourage early voting because there are so many factors that can prevent an individual voting on election day. Sickness, transportation troubles, childcare concerns being among leading impediments. The early voting allows people to bank their vote, ensuring that they have a say in who will be elected to the highest office in the land. When individuals vote early, it also allows parties to free up resources that can then be devoted to people who need more encouragement to cast their ballots. The advent of early voting has placed new emphasis on the ground games in campaigns. In other words, the ability of campaigns to chase ballots and ensure they make it to county election bureaus. I recently exercised my right to vote early in Pennsylvania. I requested a paper ballot through the mail, filled it out, and returned it by mail. I then got an email confirming my ballot had been received. Some individuals continue to worry about election integrity in the wake of early voting. It is critical that every vote be counted. In order to secure their vote, some people prefer to hand deliver their ballots to avoid any mail delays. Whenever you decide to vote, it is important that you make an informed decision. To learn more about candidates and their stance on the life issues, please visit www.nrlvictoryfund.org. Remel.
Oh, thank you, Maria. And we have a very important guest to talk about the elections today, and his name is Andrew Baer, the Assistant Political Director for National Right to Life. Andrew has previously served as Field Coordinator for National Right to Life. A longtime leader in the cause to protect the most vulnerable, Andrew has keen insight into the political world and has a political science degree from the Franciscan University of Steubenville. Also a graduate of the National Right to Life Academy, Andrew grew up in Pennsylvania and is an expert in Keystone State politics. Welcome, Andrew, to Positively Pro-Life.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we want to hear from you. We did have Carol Tobias a few weeks ago to talk about it from a national perspective, and we're very happy that you're here with us today to talk about the elections and especially when during these last few crucial weeks. So, can you tell us a little bit about why this election is so important to the pro-life cause, as well as what is at stake?
Right. Well, so this is our first election, the first presidential election since the Dobbs decision, our first post-Roe election. So there's a lot at stake here. The other, the pro-abortion side has put a lot of focus into the elections. They have put a lot of money into the elections. They want to make a point through the elections. They want to send a message that they have the upper hand on this issue. They've been, spreading misinformation left and right, on this issue, trying to fearmonger people into voting a certain way. So it's very, very important that pro-lifers get to the polls and ex exercise their right to vote, and send a message back that we stand for life, and we're going to elect people to office who share our values.
Andrew, what are some of the key differences between the two major party presidential candidates on the life issues?
And that's the thing. This year, there couldn't be a clearer contrast between the two candidates, between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris, the two major party candidates. Of course, Kamala Harris, is the current vice president of the United States. She serves with, President Biden. The two of them make up the most pro-abortion presidential administration in our nation's history. Kamala Harris is a supporter of taxpayer funding of abortion. She was also as a previously a senator in the U.S. Senate, and she, had voted for the Women's Health Protection Act, which is a bill she would love to sign if she were to become president of the United States and it would come to her desk. That bill would essentially enshrine unlimited abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy until birth, in federal law, and eliminate state laws that are protecting unborn children and their mothers today, such as parental involvement laws, waiting periods, et cetera. Donald Trump does not support that bill. That's a key distinction between the two of them. Whereas Kamala Harris is that's a very extreme position. That's a radical position that most Americans don't even agree with. But that's sort of where the base of the Democratic Party is right now. And of course, there's a key distinction between the two candidates on babies who are born alive during attempted abortions. These are babies who survive abortions, and are, the question is, do they deserve the degree of medical care that would be given to any other newborn of the same gestational age? Donald Trump says yes, they do deserve medical care. Kamala Harris says they do not. She voted against the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act when she was in the U.S. Senate, and this has actually came up during the debate as well, the presidential debate. So those are key distinctions. And also, of course, the Supreme Court is still a huge issue for the presidential candidates. Who are they going to nominate to the Supreme Court? Kamala Harris, during the Biden-Harris administration, they nominated Ketanji Brown Jackson, who is generally hostile to the pro-life position, whereas Donald Trump's three nominees, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett, were three of the justices that helped to overturn Roe v. Wade. So there are clear distinctions between them on those issues. And of course, Kamala Harris has made abortion the focal point of her campaign. The DNC, which was, and sort of celebrating her and nominating her as their nominee, it was just an abortion fest. It was just totally every speech was about abortion. Her acceptance speech was about abortion, and that's really the only thing that she's really running on at this point, other than, the platitudes that she comes up with in the word salads, It's tough because right now the polls are very, very tight in all of the swing states. They are just neck and neck. And just to highlight Pennsylvania, I just looked today, the RealClear Politics average, this takes an average of the polls, shows that Donald Trump is ahead by 0.8%, but not even a full percentage point ahead. And that's the average of the polls, although there was a Trafalgar poll that was showing him a little bit better. But it is neck and neck across all the swing states, and especially in Pennsylvania.
Wow, so close to the elections, that could be the deciding factor. So, in Pennsylvania, we have a lot of other candidates too, who people are a little confused about. And one in particular is Senator Bob Casey. Can you tell us what his record in life is? And because we know about his father's legacy, and a lot of people think that's the same, but can you clarify a little bit?
Right. So his father was a popular governor of Pennsylvania for a number of years. He, you know, was a strong pro-life advocate. He was a pro-life Democrat through and through. He was actually at one point not allowed to speak at the Democratic National Convention because of his pro-life views. And he was, you know, unapologetic about that, and was a great hero of the pro-life movement for many years, signed some great pro-life bills. And I started out and was the treasurer at one point. He was first elected in 2006, drifting away from his pro-life position. And that really, you could call Senator Casey Jr. today, you could call him pro-life. He cast a vote in favor of the Women's Health Protection Act, which is that bill that I explained about that Kamala Harris also voted for. They were colleagues in the Senate together. And that bill, you know, essentially is abortion for any reason throughout pregnancy up to the moment of birth, and wipes out, you know, limits on taxpayer funding of abortion, wipes out parental involvement laws, wipes out a lot of the pro-life laws and pro-life measures that were put in place by his father. The great, you know, Governor Casey instituted these great pro-life protections that makes Pennsylvania, you know, a safer state for unborn children and their mothers. And Bob Casey Jr. essentially voted for a bill that would undo all of that progress and his father's pro-life legacy. At this point, Senator Casey should really just be looked at like any of the other pro-abortion Democrats in the Senate. He's voted for all of the pro-abortion Supreme Court justices when they've come up for a vote. He voted for the ERA, which, you know, the long since expired ERA, but essentially would be a powerful pro-abortion legal tool if brought back. And of course, now he's supporting, you know, federal funding for abortion providers such as Planned Parenthood. There's really no case for Casey among pro-lifers, if you will. There was actually an Associated Press headline in June of this year that said, the fight for abortion rights gets an unlikely messenger in Pennsylvania, Senator Bob Casey. It's like, wow, who would have ever thought that you'd call him a messenger on abortion, like considering how great of a hero for the movement his father was. But, you know, it's sad, but obviously the pro-life choice in that race is going to be Dave McCormick, who's a businessman who's running, who, you know, does not support the Women's Health Protection Act or unlimited abortion till birth or taxpayer funding of abortion, as Senator Casey does.
You know, I think that some confusion is also being caused by Bob Casey's own commercials, where he now associates himself with Donald Trump. And so I actually had somebody come up to me at a Hazleton event, and she said, some people think this is the answer to our prayers, that Bob Casey has come back as a pro-life candidate because he's associated with Donald Trump. And I told her, well, actually, he's just been endorsed, Bob Casey, by the radically pro-abortion group, Reproductive Freedom for All, the former NARAL. So you can't really get more pro-abortion than Bob Casey at this point.
Right, right. And it's interesting because I think he may have taken the pro-abortion position that he took voting for that bill. That's really the breaking the straws, but the straw that broke the camel's back. But I think it was to avoid a Democratic primary challenger so that he could get a clear ride into the general election. And now he's doing his thing where he's trying to shuffle back and play moderate. And, you know, he's seeing how Donald Trump is doing. He's up in the polls here, and according to some of the polls, and they have internal polling. So we don't know necessarily what they're seeing, what numbers they're seeing. So he could, you know, be saying, okay, now I need to hug Donald Trump and try to look, you know, latch my wagon there. You don't see him talking at all about Kamala Harris anymore. So that could either bode well for the presidential race, or it's just Bob Casey, like, being saving himself, basically, you know. But anytime there's trouble in paradise, you know, for the other side, it's always a good thing.
Well said. Now, how do you respond to people who are fed up with all the negativity that's around and are tempted to just sit out this vote?
Yeah, and that's very easy to do. I was just home a couple weeks ago in Pennsylvania, and I turned on the TV, and it was like, you just have constantly election ads. That's all it is. And it's the most bogus, absurd things from this candidate, that candidate. This one's like, you know, it's just absurd. And it comes to a point where, like, you just almost tune it out because, like, you can't even take it all in because there's just too much. And people just get burned out, you know, of hearing about the elections, and they're just, you know, not even interested anymore in voting. And we have to really resist the temptation to feel either apathetic towards the elections or frustrated with the elections, or, you know what, channel that frustration into voting, you know, and go and vote. And now we have such great options. You can vote early, you can vote absentee, you can vote by mail. There's lots of different things you can do, whereas instead of waiting in line on election day, you can vote early. But it's so important. There's just so much at stake here. I should also mention that even though Pennsylvania has this toss-up Senate race, the Senate right now is 51 Democrats and 49 Republicans. So there, basically one Senate race is going to make the difference, you know, and this, it could go either way. Republicans just need to net basically two seats to win a majority outright, or one seat and the presidency to take the majority back in the Senate. So that's why the Senate race is so important. And of course, that plays right into the presidential race, because you have, you know, whoever becomes president, their agenda won't be able to get through without the right number of senators. You know, if we have a pro-life president, you know, we can't do much if we have a pro-abortion Senate who's blocking all of his nominees or his policies. So it's too important to be apathetic.
So why is Pennsylvania so critical this election year?
Pennsylvania is actually the swing state of the seven sort of swing states that are on the map, basically, that everyone's talking about. Pennsylvania has the largest share of electoral votes. Pennsylvania has 19 electoral votes. You need 270 to win. Among all the swing states, North Carolina has 16, but you go down further and further, and Pennsylvania just becomes this, you know, make or break for really both campaigns at this point. There's the three states that make up the quote unquote blue wall that Democrats have to win all three to maintain, you know, their hold on the Electoral College. They have to win Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. If Kamala Harris loses Pennsylvania, there's really not much of a path for her unless she would somehow win a combination of North Carolina, Georgia, et cetera. But those are states that Trump has been doing even better in than Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania has more Democratic voters than those states. And Trump only narrowly lost Georgia last time, and he won North Carolina in the last two elections. So at this point, Pennsylvania is make or break. Trump has a path to the 270 without Pennsylvania, but Kamala Harris really does not. She has to win to Pennsylvania in order to stay in the game. And once Pennsylvania is called on, if it's called on election night, hopefully it's, you know, called quickly. We're not, you know, in suspense. But once we see how Pennsylvania goes, we'll have a pretty clear idea about how the race is going to go.
Wow, that's information that I didn't know. So that was very helpful for me to, and for our listeners who probably are in the same boat as me. Can you tell us what are some ways that, you know, as voters, we can unknowingly defeat a pro-life candidate? Because we hope for the best, we try our best, but a lot of time, but sometimes we might unseat a pro-life candidate.
Right. So there's a number of things that we do. A lot of times it comes down to we fall in love with our candidates. You know, we like a certain candidate in the primary. That candidate doesn't necessarily win. And so we just decide, oh, we're not going to get involved because I don't like the nominee. I don't like the Republican nominee. I voted for Nikki Haley. I voted for Ron DeSantis or something. You know, that's great. But like, now that it's the general election time, we have a choice between two candidates. There's going to be either Kamala Harris or Donald Trump are going to be the president of the United States in the next year. So the choice is between those two at this point. If you are a pro-lifer who's not voting for the pro-life candidate and you sit home and don't vote, you're essentially taking away a roadblock to Kamala Harris becoming president. And even if you don't like, you know, Donald Trump, you don't like things he says, you don't like, you know, whatever. People have, no candidate is perfect. You know, we're all human. We all, every candidate is going to be, have things we don't like or say things we don't like. But when it comes down to it, we have a clear ideological difference between the two candidates. And one candidate is so just diametrically opposed to everything that we want to do in the pro-life movement. And it would really set our movement back a lot if Kamala Harris would become president.
Andrew, how would you respond to people who are concerned about election integrity and who fear their vote might not be counted?
Well, I mean, the most important thing, you can check on the Secretary of State website and see where your vote, make sure your vote has been recorded or and you know that it's been received. And that's one of the benefits of voting early is that you can then see that. And on election day, there's going to be, they have to process all of the ballots that come in. They have ballots that are coming by mail. They have ballots, that are coming from all over that are from all different counties, and they have, volunteers and, people that help with these processes. And so it sometimes will take a little bit. Sometimes it will take to the next day or maybe the next few days after the election, just depending when we have all these people. Voting by mail is relatively new in Pennsylvania. It's only the second election, really, that we've had sort of vote by mail for absentee voting for no reason or for any reason. So, I mean, I guess expect there to be some delays, but I mean, the process is as transparent as they can make it at this point. We have the Republican Party is really focused on that as well in Pennsylvania. It's been a major focus for both parties to make sure everything is right, that everything's on the up and up. So there will be poll watchers in place. So I don't think it's something to worry about necessarily this election. The most important thing is to just go and vote or vote early or send in your ballot by mail.
What are some of the other critical races nationwide this elections? We talked about Pennsylvania and
Right. Well, I mean, the Senate is so critical. I mean, the Senate being 51-49, are right next door to us, our neighbor West Virginia. That's an open seat that Republicans are expected to pick up. That would give us 50 Republicans, 50 Democrats. And then you have, of course, just going down the line, there's competitive races in which are potential flip for Republicans. Arizona. Let's see, Arizona, Michigan, Montana is Senator John Tester is up for re-election, and that's a state that Trump won and it's probably going to win again this year, Montana. So he's kind of fighting against the sort of red wave in Montana. We have Nevada has a competitive Senate race, also Ohio. It's a state Trump's also expected to win, and incumbent Democrat Sherrod Brown is running for re-election. We also have, let's see, Wisconsin, of course. Wisconsin is a state just like Pennsylvania, which is going to be a neck and neck right to the end. Based on actually just looking at Pennsylvania, just to circle back to Pennsylvania, there's a Trafalgar poll that just came out of likely voters in Pennsylvania with McCormick and Bob Casey tied in the Senate race, which is the first time I've really seen that because Bob Casey's been ahead all this time, and it's really, really closing at the last minute. So the momentum is definitely on McCormick's side. But beyond just the Senate races, of course, the U.S. House is up for grabs too. The U.S. House is right now, currently, there's 220 Republicans. So Republicans have the majority, have the speakership. Speaker Johnson, who's a pro-life champion, and the Democrats currently have 212. So that's 220 to 212. And there's three vacancies. So normally, you need 218 for the majority. So that is a very, very narrow, probably the narrowest House majority we've had in a long, long time, or that anyone's had in a long time. And really, a couple seats here and there can make the difference. And of course, wouldn't you know it, Pennsylvania has several competitive House districts where there are seats up for grabs. Just off the top of my head, I know the first district, the seventh district, the eighth, the 10th. The 17th are all in sort of competitive. Did I say the 10th? Yeah.
Yes.
That's where my family is from, Scott Perry's district. So those are really, really important House races. In the 7th district, Susan Wild is up for re-election, and she is a pro-abortion, just awful candidate. She's supported all the most pro-abortion things. She has a 0% rating from National Right to Life. Same, and Matt Cartwright is also pro-abortion in the 8th district. Those are two potential pickups for us. If we can get those guys out of there, that would be great. And then we're defending Scott Perry, the 10th district. And in the 17th district, Chris DiLuccio is up for re-election. He's a freshman, I believe, with a pro-abortion record as well. So that's a potential pickup as well, but longer.
Okay. And we have about 2 minutes left, Andrew. And I'm wondering, what are some resources available for people who want to learn more about candidates and this election?
Well, certainly they can check out the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation website and voter guide that you guys put out. Also, you can go to the National Right to Life Victory Fund website. That's nrlvictoryfund.org. So nrlvictoryfund.org. And if you go on there, there's resources, candidate comparisons, comparing President Trump and Kamala Harris. There's ones comparing Tim Walz and J.D. Vance. And there's also, you know, on the state level, you can see endorsements that we've made. There's also a readout on Senator Casey's record. So if you want to get all the details on Senator Casey's record, you want to share with your pro-life friends and family who maybe are confused about Senator Casey, where he stands, or where, you know, where Trump and Kamala stand on the issue. Because certainly if you watch the news, you watch the media and the ads, you may not have any kind of clue what the actual truth is going on. You get all the facts at nrlvictoryfund.org.
That is tremendous. And Andrew, I feel as if I discovered you, because I remember you when you were a pro-life club member and leader, actually, at York Catholic. And to see where you are today, the premier pro-life political expert in the country, you know, it's just so heartwarming.
Oh, thank you. Well, I always cherish my time at the Federation and all my time in Pennsylvania, so.
That's great. We've been speaking with Andrew Baer, the Assistant Political Director of National Right to Life. Positively Pro-Life is made possible through the generous support of the members of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation all across the Commonwealth. The Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation is the largest single-issue pro-life organization in the Keystone State, with nearly 40 local county-based chapters. We shine a spotlight on the most vulnerable individuals, from the very dawn of life to the twilight of life. And remember, there is always a reason to choose life.